Another Freedom Fest special, Project Veritas. You can watch it right here. James O'Keefe gave a great presentation to everybody who was in attendance. You can watch it exclusively on Rumble or listen wherever you get your podcast. You won't want to miss O'Keefe's breakdown of Project Veritas's work, exposing the corruption of the Democrats and their corporate media lackeys. I know if you're listening right now, if you have a chance, you might want to watch it on Rumble also because he gives a great presentation.
Hello, everyone. Great to be here. Great to be here. I've never been here before. The social media companies have banned me from Twitter. And they've tried to take my voice away. Quite literally, I have no voice right now after all that we have been through over the last month. But I have a pretty interesting presentation to show you today. I think you'll find it quite entertaining and enlightening. So we'll get started. And we can put on the screen here Project Veritas's logo, Be Brave, Do Something. We can get that on the screen. There it is. What does that mean? What does it mean to be brave and do something? You know, so many people feel so hopeless right now about the problems in our society and our world. And frankly, I've reduced this to people asked me the other day, what does it mean to be brave, do something? It frankly means to grow a pair of balls. That's what it means. So we could just leave that on the screen. I'm going to take you through a journey. Project Veritas's mission to expose fraud, abuse, corruption, dishonesty. Through the years, we've gone undercover, most recently using whistleblowers. But my first video ever, and I like to play this for you because people say, how'd you get started doing this? So I went to college, and being an Irish American, they served Lucky Charms cereal. I felt that was racist against my Irish heritage. Now, I didn't actually feel it was racist, but I decided to make them live up to their own book of rules. So I went in with this little hidden camera. This is a number of years ago. And I said that it was racist, and I recorded it. And I'm going to play this for you.
I'd interject quickly. The university's policy against verbal assault, defamation, and harassment starts off by saying that intolerance and bigotry are antithetical to the values of the university and are unacceptable.
And we actually went in there, made the argument, and the Rutgers dean agreed to remove Lucky Charms from the cafeteria. So I quickly realized the way to expose them is not to complain about them, but to get them on videotape being who they are. Therefore, no explanation is required to engage in behaviors and techniques to expose them, to show people who these people really are. So then I went undercover as a pimp. You may remember this. This is over a decade ago. And I had a colleague who was then 20 years old. I was then 25. And she dressed like that. And we went into these offices to expose Acorn. And I'll show you a few clips from this.
Is it against the law in Maryland? Prostitution?
Anything that the government's not getting money from is always against the law.
Let me make sure there's a code for it, okay?
A code for prostitution?
You might have to name it something else. Performance arts. Let's see. Independent artists. You could be that. Dancing?
It's not dancing, trust me.
But dancing is considered an art? I mean, you know,
sex is kind of like dancing, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. Your business is a performing artist.
A performing artist.
But you are. Okay, so you're not lying. So stop saying plastic.
Got it.
These workers were telling me how to disguise prostitution as, you know, on our 1099s, change it on the tax forms. We went into office after office after office. You may remember this.
All right, so this Acorn office has some bad apples. But in Baltimore, I've seen The Wire, the place is all. You wouldn't see this kind of thing a few miles away at the Acorn office in D.C.
My girlfriend's a prostitute.
Okay.
And I don't know if...
I kind of figured that.
I did look the way I looked.
You know what I mean?
Right, but when the police ask you, you don't know where it's coming from. It's what we're trying to tell you.
All right.
We're looking out for you.
All these workers were telling us to break the law. And the remarkable thing about it was the New York Times had a story lined up in 2008. They spiked the story. They canceled the story. It took two kids from the cast of High School Musical 3 to break this story, and that was my grandmother's chinchilla coat, by the way, as the pimp. So people say, what can I do? What can I do? Everyone here, everyone always asks me, what can I do to help? And I'm about to tell you what you can do to help. But the first thing is, you have to have the courage to stand up behind your own convictions. I'm not so sure that people do have that courage. It's not easy to be attacked. I've been to jail. I've been sued so many times. Project Veritas, by the way, has never lost a lawsuit. Why is it that I've never, is it because I have good lawyers? Well, I have good lawyers, but it's because I've got nothing to hide. Because we tell the truth, we don't plead the fifth, we don't run away, we don't settle the lawsuits, we go all the way, if necessary, to the United States Supreme Court. Now, our undercover reporters through the years have and captured a lot of crazy things, none of which will shock you, but it will confirm what you've always believed. This is a Google vice president recorded a year and a half ago. Her name, Jen Janai, and she was recorded here in California, San Francisco, saying that it's Google's job to, quote, prevent the next Trump situation.
Elizabeth Warren is saying that we should break up Google. I'm like, I love her, but she's very misguided. Like, that will not make it better. It'll make it worse, because now all these smaller companies who don't have the same resources that we do will be charged with preventing the next Trump situation.
Preventing the next Trump situation. I wonder what the Google executive means by that.
Do you think it's Google's job to, quote, prevent the next Trump situation?
Thank you, Senator. I don't agree with that.
So, now, what's interesting about this investigation is we published this investigation in CNN. This is Brian Stelter at CNN, who might be the least telegenic news anchor ever. Brian Stelter says, quote, I Googled for a reliable news account about what's going on. No self-awareness whatsoever from Brian Stelter, and of course, he got ratioed on social media. But Project Veritas now has whistleblowers, brave people who come to us, people like Richard Hopkins, who in November of this past year, right around the time of the presidential election, this is a postal worker in Erie, Pennsylvania, who had overheard his supervisor discussing the backdating of ballots. Richard Hopkins said this.
And I heard him say to the supervisor that they messed up yesterday. I was like, oh, what did they mess up on? And he told the supervisor that they had postmarked one of the ballots for the fourth instead of the third, because they were supposed to put them for the third.
Now, this is illegal, but rather than investigate the fraud that Richard Hopkins is witnessing, rather than the government of these United States look into the fraud from this brave man speaking out to me on the record, the Office of the Inspector General did not look into this. No. They sent one of their best to Pennsylvania to interrogate Richard Hopkins. Something out of a George Orwell novel. This Inspector General guy, whose picture I put in the YouTube video, thank God Richard Hopkins recorded that interrogation done of him. They wouldn't let him speak to a lawyer. It went on for hours. Listen to this. This is a guy named Russell Strasser, Office of the Inspector, former FBI agent, interrogating Hopkins, saying he's trying to coerce him to change his story.
I am trying to twist you a little bit, because in that, believe it or not, your mind will kick in. I'm not scaring you. But I am scaring you.
Trying to twist you and scare you. This is what Nunes talks about when he talks about all the fraud in our government. This is like something out of a science fiction novel. They were trying to get him to force him to change his story or else. He said, there are senators talking. We can't have senators talking about fraud. We can't. Journalism is about the pursuit of truth. But the media these days is no longer about that. It's no longer about getting to the bottom of things. They have their own religion. They have their own faith. One of those faiths is that voter fraud doesn't happen. It can't happen. So when you do prove it, you must destroy the person who's proven it. And that's what happened in this case. And the Washington Post does a story. Story comes out, and it says, according to three officials briefed on the investigation, postal workers recanted allegations. I don't know who these people briefed on the investigation are. Richard Hopkins recorded the damn interview. Who are these anonymous sources? I got the recording. I interviewed Hopkins about what he endured. This guy is a Marine veteran. He lost his job. They fired him. And I asked him about what happened.
They were grilling the hell out of me.
How are you feeling right now?
I'm kind of pissed. I feel like I just got played.
He said that he has a family. He talked about his experience in war.
Yeah, I've got a daughter. My daughter's 4, so she doesn't know anything about this. She doesn't. I'll tell y'all, I'd rather be out back in Afghanistan getting shot at by Afghans, honest to God, than, you know, having to be in this kind of position.
So it does take courage to do this. It's not easy. This man started a GoFundMe page, raised something like $250,000 in 24 hours, and GoFundMe took his page down and wouldn't give him the money. But Project Veritas is representing him in a lawsuit, which, by the way, we don't lose lawsuits, so. We don't lose lawsuits. I'm about to get to those lawsuits in a minute, and you're going to love what you're about to hear. That's right. CNN, the whistleblowers come out. They inspire more whistleblowers. That's the most beautiful thing. Every time whistleblower comes public, 12 more whistleblowers come public, including this guy, CNN insider Kerry Porch. He recorded Jeff Zucker, the CNN president. This is what he had to say.
I decided to wear the camera because I didn't see any other option.
He said he didn't see any other option, and we got access to Jeff Zucker's 9 a.m. conference calls, which we recorded for 2 straight months. And on the 30th day of the second month, I decided to pay a little visit to Jeff Zucker myself, dialing into the conference call and announcing, well, yeah, I've been recording your calls for the last 2 months.
You're unmuted.
Hey, Jeff Zucker, are you there? Hey,
yes.
This is James O'Keefe. We've been listening to your CNN calls for basically 2 months, recording everything. Just wanted to ask you some questions if you have a minute. Do you still feel you're the most trusted name in news? Because I have to say, from what I've been hearing on these phone calls, I don't know about that. I mean, we got a lot of recordings that indicate you're not really that independent of a journalist.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. So everybody, in light of that, I think what we'll do is we'll set up a new system.
They had to set up a new system because we record their calls. Now, we just released this story a couple weeks ago showing a man inside CNN who's the control room director. This guy was talking about CNN's real purpose. Doesn't shock you, but it confirms everything you've always believed about the most, quote, trusted name in news.
I think we got him through this term. We would always show shots of him jogging. Him in aviator shades and like you paint him as a young geriatric.
We were creating a story there that we didn't know anything about. You know, I think that's probably it.
Look what we did. We got Trump back. I am 100% going to say it. And I 100% believe it, that if it wasn't for CNN, I don't know that Trump would have gotten voted out.
Our focus was to get Trump out of office, right? Without saying it, that's what it was.
Our focus was to get Trump out of office without saying that's what our focus was, say the good journalists at CNN. These people really are. They even brag about COVID numbers on screen being higher, more deaths, because deaths are good for ratings at CNN.
COVID, gangbusters of ratings. COVID, gangbusters of ratings, right? Which is why we constantly have the death toll on the side.
This is disgusting. It's disgusting. He brags about helping Black Lives Matter at CNN.
I was trying to do some research on like the Asian hate, like the people are getting attacked or a bunch of Black men that have been attacking Asian men. So I'm like, what are you doing? Like, we're trying to like help like with the BLM and like
trying to help Black Lives Matter, yeah. Says Charlie Church. You may recall we've been doing so many stories on CNN. This is one of my favorites. A couple years ago, we interviewed Van Jones on the street. walked up to him and said, what do you think? And this is like what Nunes talks about. This is in 2017. I said, what do you think about this whole Russia thing, CNN? This is a secretly recorded video in Los Angeles. What do you think about the whole Russia thing, Van Jones?
Hey, man. We met in Palm Springs a few years back.
Good to see you, man. You good?
Yeah. How you been? What are you doing? What do you think's going to happen this week? I mean, with the whole Russia thing.
The Russia thing is just a big nothing burger.
The Russia thing is just a big nothing burger, says CNN privately. Nothing burger, says Van Jones. They'll never tell you the truth in public, but they'll always tell you the truth in private.
CNN.
Oh, I like this meme too. O'Keefe broke me. So,
CNN.
So Twitter, this story is trending on Twitter. It's number two, number three worldwide. On Twitter, exposed, CNN is trending. And on the third release, on the third day, a couple weeks ago, right when the story is getting tens of millions of views, what does Twitter decide to do? They decide to take my account down, and I decide to sue Twitter for defamation. And Harmeet Dhillon, Harmeet Dhillon is in the building here. She represents me in this particular lawsuit. And while Section 230 of the Communications and Decency Act protects Twitter from what other people say on their platform, Section 230 in this case will not protect Twitter from James O'Keefe and Project Veritas from winning this lawsuit. Twitter claims that I, quote, operated fake accounts. They must have taken a minute to figure out what fake nonsense they can throw at me because I've never created a fake Twitter account in my life. However, there are people on Twitter with fake accounts misrepresenting themselves on my behalf. And by the way, there's a Times Square right now. This is playing in Times Square in New York City. We got Times Square videos. They've taken us off Twitter, but we're in Times Square. So we have distribution by proxy. I'm gonna skip through some of this. Project Veritas was also banned from CNN. I'm sorry, CNN reported that Project Veritas had created misinformation. That's why we were banned. This is false. CNN knows it's false. The host on CNN who said that we did this, Anna Cabrera was her name, and she tweeted out opposite information. She went on the air and just lied about us. She just lied.
This is part of a much broader crackdown, as we mentioned, by social media giants on accounts that are promoting misinformation.
That is not why Project Veritas was banned, so I sued CNN for defamation. I sued CNN for defamation. And by the way, we will get past motion to dismiss. And once we do, I will depose under oath Brian Stelter, Anna Cabrera, and Jeff Zucker. Now, we're getting closer to the grand finale because what you're about to see is really unbelievable. Maybe it doesn't shock you, but it's important to take you through it. We did a story in November. It was probably the biggest story of Project Veritas history. It showed a man in his car bragging about all the fraud he's committing in Minneapolis. You may remember this one. It was a Somali man, a Somali-American man, bragging about all the absentee ballots he's harvesting in Minneapolis. It's illegal to even have more than three in your possession. He's bragging about all the fraud that he is committing. And we do this story, it's incontrovertible, it's so clear what this man is doing. I didn't even record him. He recorded himself on Snapchat, and a source gave it to me. So I didn't even record him. And then the evening of the presidential debate between Biden and Trump, the New York Times does this story. And the story is Project Veritas releases misleading video, part of what experts call coordinated effort. The New York Times article says, I'm making claims without evidence. I don't know what they mean by that. I didn't claim anything. The guy recorded himself, and I published it. The New York Times, this is this guy talking about hundreds of ballots he's got. New York Times says that the allegations come solely from unnamed people, which doesn't even make any sense because you could see the guy's face, and I name him. We even released this video where you show a ballot harvester giving money to a voter, and I show their faces. You can even see the cash exchanging hands. So there's clearly no unnamed sources in this video. It's all on tape. But the New York Times said that I used unidentified sources. We even had a guy, one of the taxi drivers in Minneapolis, say that it's illegal and he doesn't care.
That's illegal. Why?
You don't care illegal. I have lies. Wonderful.
How much are you?
It's a good one.
He's not an unnamed source. You can hear his voice. And he says he was $800 per vote. Now, the feds have jurisdiction. Nobody got prosecuted. The Attorney General of Minnesota, Keith Ellison, had jurisdiction. Nobody got prosecuted. But the New York Times, which is the paragon of journalism, does this A section piece saying that I'm part of a coordinated disinformation campaign. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. This comes out, and then the USA Today, which uses the New York Times to fact check on behalf of Facebook, does a story saying that the videos are fake. And Facebook bans our video because of what the New York Times said. They made it so that it's false information. And if you follow Project Veritas, you got this notification saying that the video that you saw a minute ago of the Minneapolis man is fake. So, of course, what am I going to do? I can't believe my own eyes and ears. This guy's on tape. He's saying, I break the law. Nobody cares. I harvest ballots. I say, enough is enough. And I'm in my office, and I look at my lawyer. My lawyer looks at me, and I say, you know what? We're going to sue the shit out of them for defamation. It's time. The media is so corrupt in this country. They have all the power. Government is downstream from media. People in Congress are downstream from tech. If we don't hold them accountable now, who will? They lie with malice. They lie under oath. It's time for someone to go after them. And I'm here to tell you something pretty extraordinary. We sued the New York Times. In the Supreme Court of the state of New York, we filed this motion. We got through this. We went through the lawsuit. And the judge, Supreme Court of the state of New York, had this to say about what the New York Times did. The judge said it was the New York Times that engaged in deception and disinformation by interjecting their opinion in a news article.
Defendants argue that their statements describing Veritas video as deceptive, false, and without evidence were mere opinion incapable of being judged true or false. However, if a writer interjects an opinion in a news article and will seek to claim legal protections as opinion, it stands to reason that the writers should have an obligation to alert the reader that it is opinion.
The judge also said that the New York Times said, well, James O'Keefe has a terrible reputation because of all what these people have said. And the judge said, truth, polling does not decide the truth, nor speak to evidence in this case. And Project Veritas won a huge victory against the New York Times. The judge will allow the lawsuit to continue to discovery, which means I get to depose under oath the executive editor of the New York Times. And one law professor had this to say, quote, the cost of the changing view of journalism may not only be the loss of core trust, the opinion in Project Veritas v. New York Times could prove a, quote, critical shot across the bow for many in the media that the blurring of opinion and fact could indeed come at a high price. So, and this is what President Trump had to say about the New York Times lawsuit.
Congratulate Project Veritas on their big win on the New York Times. Now the suit will continue. And whatever you can do for their legal defense fund, we're with them all the way. They do incredible work. They find things that nobody would even believe possible.
So it's important for you to understand that we are going to, we're going to be suing a lot of people for defamation. And we're going to be publishing all the discovery on the internet. This is the only way we can hold them accountable. We even have a whole new legal division within Veritas to sue on behalf of people who have been defamed, who have facts that lend to actual malice. Project Veritas has never lost a lawsuit because we're in the right, because the truth is on our side, because we behave like a jury is always watching us, and they don't. And I want to just say, I'm going to close with this. I was sued by a teachers union in Michigan, and I've been deposed many times. I've been in court many times, and there's this one incredible moment in a lawsuit. The American Federation of Teachers filed a lawsuit against me. One of our undercover reporters, who's actually from this area, her name is Marissa, now she works in fundraising for us, she had recorded a teacher union boss saying that they paid this guy $50,000 after he was accused of sexually assaulting a kid, and they swept it under the rug. Marissa recorded this. The union sues me for like breach of fiduciary duty and some nonsense. And it goes through discovery. And there's this moment, and I want to play this two-minute video for you, where the union lawyers are cross-examining me. And this is one of the extraordinary moments where even on defense, Veritas goes on offense. Watch this.
Had you ever heard a union official make that statement prior to, April 5th of 2017?
Duton claimed there was some inappropriate behavior in the home. We negotiated a resignation for him.
Right.
He didn't lose the certification. He got the $50,000 payment. He knows what he did.
Well, I have talked to sources who have indicated to me that these sorts of statements occur and these sorts of things occur.
You're willing to share the names of the sources?
I'm going to object and direct
the witness.
I don't
think a New York Times reporter or an NBC News reporter or a 60 Minutes reporter would ever reveal those sources.
Mr. O'Keefe, the difference between you and them is that they would never compare themselves to you. Are
statements.
You willing to share the source? The answer is yes or no.
No.
So,
and the Supreme Court of the United States has backed me up on that. A local president of a teachers union in Kansas. And he said national presidents would love to see O'Keefe take a hit. President of Michigan, AFT, said, quote,
to have the lawsuit in any way possible stop Project Veritas from doing the kind of work that it does.
You can mug for the camera all you want. What it comes down to is the truth.
You brought me here against my will. You brought the cameras here.
Mm-hmm.
You're the ones suing us. You're the ones admitting that you're using this as a device to stop us. I think it's an anathema to the First Amendment. I think it's a national disgrace. And so help me God, I will not stop fighting for our First Amendment rights under the Constitution.
Well, we think you're a national disgrace, Mr. O'Keefe.
I object to the representation of counsel. If we're going to badger the witness, we can wrap this up real fast.
And I take
that
as a compliment,
by
the way.
I just want to know whether you are asserting that Lauren Windsor or anyone else communicated either with me or anyone associated with my law firm.
I'll object to the extent that the witness did not say that.
I'd like to answer the question. We're about to find out, because today we're issuing a subpoena to Randy Weingarten.
Okay, we'll take 10 minutes.
So we issued a subpoena during the deposition. Now, I have a special announcement to make. The young female reporter who recorded this now works in fundraising for Veritas, helping us pay our legal bills. She's from this area. She's from Central Valley, California. And her name is Marissa. She recorded this. It was her idea to go undercover in the teachers' unions and expose this. She went all the way through the depositions. We were winning the lawsuit. Her name is Marissa. Marissa, come on stage.
Hello to Larry. It's so great to be here. So like you said, my name's Marissa. I'm from Atwater, California. I grew up on dairy farm, going to Portuguese festas. You know, there's nothing quite like the spirit of the valley. I mean, it is the reason I was able to undercover what is going on in the teachers union. And you know, no matter where I go, the Central Valley will always be my home. And in closing, I'll say, you all are the last bastions of hope for California. Keep up the good fight and be brave, do something.
Thank you, Marissa. I mean, it was her idea to do this, so if we just want to throw up on the screen the last slide here. Project Veritas's mission, be brave, do something. I think we have the number there. We have whistleblowers everywhere now. Not just employee reporters who go undercover, but we have people inside Hollywood, tech. media. We're going to have some anchors hopefully going public with inside the media on the record, blowing the whistle on their own news networks very soon. And, you know, journalism has always been about the pursuit of truth, and it's become about a faith, a religion, an ideology. But I do believe that the heroism of the people that will come public, as well as us winning these libel lawsuits, will pave a way for other people. In the beginning of a charge, it's hard to do this. People are watching, seeing if you're going to be successful. But when we do succeed, many other people are going to follow in our footsteps. And if you're lying, cheating, stealing, scamming, defaming, Project Veritas will make you the next unwilling internet celebrity. Thank you all.